Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to fellowship around your word. We thank you that your word is life-giving. We thank you that your word says heaven and earth is going to pass away, but your word will never pass away. We thank you that all of the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. And as we hear your promises regarding singles today, Lord, I thank you that their ears are open to hear. Their hearts are receptive to receive. And I thank you that as they receive the word and believe the word and walk out of here and begin to implement the word in their lives, they're going to see signs, miracles, and wonders follow their lives, because you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you may repent. You are going to do what you say you're going to do. So we thank you for being a God that keeps promises, in Jesus' name. And Lord, help everybody that don't have on a Dallas Cowboy jersey. Help them. No, I'm just playing. You may be seated. It's like, is he going to include that in the prayer? So, we have been, if you are here for the first time, we've been in a teaching series for the whole month of September, and it's called Let's Fight. So look at your neighbor and say, I've been fighting. Yes, and so last week, Lateris Whitfield did an amazing job. Did he do good last week, y'all? Talked about fighting in the spirit. And so this whole month, we've been dividing our church by relationship status. So if you may not have noticed, the 9 o'clock service was for married people. And so this service is for single people. And so if you didn't know that and you're married, just sit tight. You'll learn something, but I think you'll also appreciate being married. Amen. And so, what I want to do, if you've missed any of the messages, I want you to go back and listen to them, because I believe they will encourage you and strengthen you in your single walk. Now, today is our last message. This is actually our fifth message for the month. And I believe this is going to be the cherry on top of all the previous messages. So if you're taking notes, or if you need a copy of the notes, raise your hand if you don't have them, and our ushers will give you a copy of the notes. And one of the reasons we give out the notes, there's some, put your hands up real high so they can see. We have several people. The reason we give out the notes is so that, number one, you can see that I'm teaching from the Bible. Number two, you can go home and verify and do your own Bible study. And that's why we do that. Amen. So if you're taking notes today, the title is Random Fights for the Single Life. Random Fights for the Single Life. Let me tell you why, how I came up with that title. There's so much I want to tell y'all. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give them random thoughts about some things that I feel they need to know to close this thing out. So the purpose of today's message is to share with you some wisdom keys in various areas that I believe will help you as a single reach your full potential. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to start listing what I'm calling random fights. Okay? And these are all going to apply to your life as a single person, one way or another. So the first random fight that we're going to talk about is realizing that singleness is a season. Everybody say singleness is a season. Okay, so if singleness is a season, why are you so desperate to get out of it? Do you know you make bad decisions when you are under duress? And many of you are under duress, or you're stressed out because you feel you need to be in a relationship, And some of that stress is coming outside of you. It's coming from your family. It's coming from society. It's coming from your friends. It's from coming from people. And listen, my thing is, don't let them rush you into something that's temporary anyway. The single life is temporary. So we're going to look at singleness as a season. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, to everything, everybody say everything. Amen. To everything, there is a what, church? There's a season. So there's a season for you to get married. There's a season for you to be single. There's a season for you to have kids. There's a season for you to change jobs. He said, there's a season to everything. But then he goes on to say, there is a time to every purpose under heaven. So what he's saying here is, everything has a season. But even within that season, there are time frames. And the problem with a lot of people is they might be in the right season, but the decisions they make are not on time. When I was single for a short season, at one point I didn't feel I would get married again. I'm almost 60. I can grunt it out. I'll work my wife. And I think the Lord was up there saying, we both can't be married to the same woman now. That's my bride. I was just going to work it out, right? And it wasn't until things started happening to make me realize getting married was part of God's will for my life. Listen, sometimes you have to understand how God thinks. And it was never God's will for me to pastor being single. Some people will not come to the church with a single pastor. I'll share this and then I'm going to keep going. And the reason I'm doing this format is because there are things that I say behind the scene that they be like, "Ooh, Pastor, why don't you say that on Sunday?" See, I'm better behind the scene than I am up here. This is why our church is a good church because, and I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor. Okay. All right. But I will say this. I'm a better pastor than I am a preacher. Yeah. And that's why I know people. I know guys that can beat me preaching. I mean, they can preach the paint off the wall. They can do it, boy. He died. Yes, he did. They can beat Pastor Evan preaching, but what they can't do is beat me pastoring. See, pastoring involves being in the life of the people. See, that's why I'm not gone most of the time. You know why? Because I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor. And that's why I know about what's going on in a lot of y'all's life. And you know what? Some of y'all be like, "Well, he don't know what's going on in my life." You don't want God to show me prophetically. I can tell you. Anyway, so I'm going to say some stuff like off the cuff because I designed my lesson to be that way today. Okay. So, in Ecclesiastes, he says, to everything there's a season, to every time there's a purpose under heaven. And so I realized God wanted me to get married again. There was two couples who came to visit. Both couples were looking for a church. This is when I was single. They came and visited. I'm not sure who invited them, but they came and visited. The two men were best friends. The two wives, of course, knew each other because their husbands were best friends. Did the message, praise and worship that day. Everything was amazing. I get in line to greet visitors and the first, couple comes up and they were like, "This was great. We loved it. The message was great. Praise and worship was great." They ended up joining the church. The other couple, the guy, the man was getting ready to come and get in line and she said to him, "Where you going?" She said, "You don't need to meet him." She said, "Cause we ain't joining no church where the pastor's single." And there are some people like that. And I'm okay with that. But my point is, there's a season for everything. And then he says a time for everything under heaven. Now listen to the voice translation. It says, for everything that happens in life, there is a season. And a right time, say right time. And a right time for everything under heaven. So if you're not married right now, can I tell you something? God knows that. You ain't caught God by surprise. Be like, "God, don't you know how old I am?" He already know. If he knows how many hairs are on your head, he knows how long you've been single. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 10. He said, I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Watch verse 11. He, God, has made what? He's made what? He's made everything how? Beautiful, but what? In his time. That tells me two things. Number one, singleness is not a state, it's a season. It also tells me that what God's purpose is, it's only his purpose that beauty's gonna come out in time. So if God causes beauty to come out of everything, then something beautiful is scheduled to come out of your season of singleness. Amen. Here's random fight number two. And that is knowing God's plan for your life. Most single people don't know God's plan. And the sad thing is they don't take the time while they're single to try to discover it. Because let me tell you something about God. Most of the things that God wants, the simple things are on the surface. It's the things that are below the surface that you have to dig for to get revelation from. Now the Bible says that God, the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. There are some deep things in God that you're not going to discover without searching. Say amen to that. And he has a plan for your life. And part of that plan includes you having to search him to discover it. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Voice translation says this, for I know, this is God talking, I know the plans that I have for you. Well, I can stop right there. Because at least that tells me that God has a plan for my life. And at least I know who to go to get the plan. You don't need to go to your horoscope. Somebody read their horoscope this morning. Why you do that? Oh, so you're going to let the world tell you what the word is supposed to tell you? No, it don't work like that. And see, here's the thing. The creation should never be able to tell the creation what it was created for. No. It's the creator that tells the creation what he created it for. And the horoscope ain't gonna do it. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the eternal. There are plans for peace. There are plans. They're not evil. You don't have to be scared. Because some people are afraid to fully submit their life to the Lord because they feel like the Lord's gonna make their life miserable. Well, do I look miserable to you? Not at all. Now, does that mean bad things don't happen to you? Nope, it does not mean that. But what it does mean is that God will work things together for good, but he only works things together for good for those who love him and those who are willing to follow his purpose. See, if it ain't working out, you need to check your relationship status. Amen. Plans for peace and not evil to give you a future and hope. And then he says, never forget that. And so listen, the purpose of being single is to maximize the spirit part of you, mature the emotional side of you, renew the mental side of you, and preserve the physical side of you. Boy, I'm going to say, look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you with all that. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to do with my life. Let me tell you again. The purpose of being single. How many single in here? Let me see your hand. All right, good. The purpose of being single is to maximize the spirit part of you. Mature the emotional side of you. Renew the mental side of you. And preserve the physical side of you while you serve the Lord until your spouse comes if you desire to get married. Because let me give you a secret. Most marriages struggle because two spiritual teenagers got married who have kindergarten emotions who think like first graders. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That didn't sound too spiritual, did it? But you understood what I said, didn't you? I'm going to say that again. I'm telling you, I'm in the meetings with these grown, rusty, married people, and they're struggling because two spiritual teenagers, y'all know how teenagers act. Two spiritual teenagers got married who have kindergarten emotions. They cry about everything. Come on, y'all know how it is. Little kids cry over everything. If you don't, if they don't have the, if their Crayola breaks, mommy, my color broke. Oh my God. We have two spiritual teenagers who got married. Their emotions are in kindergarten and they think like first graders. See, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like one. I acted like one. I lived like one. I even dated like one. I added that one. He said, but when I became a man, when I became a grown woman, I did not date boys. You know why you date boys? Because you're still a girl. Can I tell you something? If you act like a girl, you will never find your mate because God doesn't send girls to men. Give me some scripture, Pastor. A man that finds a wife finds a good thing. It didn't say a man that finds a girl. No, no, no. See, until you act like a wife, you're going to always be a girlfriend. Oh. And the right guy, he knows what you are. Let me say it like this. He knows what you is. This is why he expect wifely duties from a girlfriend. Because you don't know you're a wife. Because you think like a first grader. Let me be nice. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to upgrade your thinking. Because as a man or woman thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you think you have to do wifely duties as a girlfriend because that's the only way you're going to keep him. Wrong. You're right if you want to keep a boy. Okay. Random fight number three. And this random fight, I'm going to call it waiting on God. Isaiah 40:31 says this. But they that wait upon who? The Lord. What's going to happen? They're going to renew their strength. What else is going to happen? They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. What else is going to happen? They're going to be able to run and not even get tired. And they will walk and not even faint. You can't view waiting on the Lord as if you are in a waiting room. You know how you go to the doctor and you're in the waiting room and you're waiting for them to call your name. You can't view waiting on the Lord like you are in a waiting room waiting for him to call your name. That's not what that waiting means. And most singles are waiting, watch this now, for the promise of marriage. When the word clearly just told us, we should be waiting on a person, not a promise. They that wait upon the Lord, not they that wait upon the Lord's promises. No, no, no. See, here's the thing. You get the Lord, you get the promise. Amen. And most people have not learned to wait. And let me tell you something. If you don't learn how to wait on the Lord, you might get, let me tell this story. So years ago, this is not, you know, I'm not even sure how many of my staff was on staff then, but years ago, you know, one of my gifts is giving. Y'all should know that by now. You know, believe it or not, whatever your gift is, it's probably your strength, but it's also your weakness. Okay. And so I'm a giver. And so sometimes I can have sloppy agape. I'm helping people and I shouldn't be helping them. Because God wants to help them, but I'm in the way. So I'll never forget, the Lord spoke to me one day and he says, Evan, you need to stop being Jehovah Jireh for your staff. Because see, back then, back in those days, let's say one of them called in because they had a flat. Okay, Pastor, I'm going to be late. I had a flat. I'm going to go in, take my car in the Discount Tire, and they go to Discount Tire, and Discount Tire, you know them. The name of the store already tells you what they want from you. They want you to buy tires. So they come in there with that little measuring thing, and they realize, hey, ma'am, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am. Based on our regulations, you need 4 new tires, ma'am. You're not even going to be able to pass inspection, ma'am. You need 4 new tires. So you know, they get the 4 tires and then they come in. And I'd be like, hey, how's it going? Did everything work out okay? Was it a nail in your tire? I said, Pastor, I got there and I needed 4 new tires. And my sloppy agape self would be like, well, how much was it? I'll take care of it. So the Lord told me, he said, Evan, stop being Jehovah Jireh for your staff. Because this is what he told me. He said, they'll get your best, but they won't get my best. And you will only get your best, but not God's best, if you don't learn how to wait on him. And here's what I love about God. God loves y'all so much, he put my life on display so you can see him work in my life. Because y'all already know I got the best. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I ain't talking about stuff either. I'm talking about that lady sitting right over there. The best. Yeah. Yeah. She takes care of the pastor. Don't even try it. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? But watch this though. I had to wait. He said, well, Pastor, you didn't wait long. I can wait that long. No, I wasn't waiting to get married. I was waiting on the Lord to tell me what to do. And once he told me what to do, you can only have faith for God's instructions for your life. I had faith. I waited. And here it is. He set me up real good. And here's the thing. Some of what I got, I didn't know I was getting. Because, you know, the Lord likes to surprise you sometimes. Right? And see, some of y'all so picky. He got to be 6'3¼". He need to be 35½ years old. He can't drive a car no older than 2015. I mean, you got all your criteria. What if what God has for you don't match it? What you gonna do? Okay, let's go to the next one. Because I'm falling on by grace real fast here. Here's random fight number, whatever number I'm on. Number 4. Which one? Random fight number 4 is maturing in your emotions. Oh, I'm about to get you right now. Most singles wait on the Lord with their feelings, but not with their faith. That's why the promise feels so far away. Because you're waiting with your feelings and you're not waiting with your faith. You say, well, how do I do that? Waiting with your faith is waiting based on the word of God. So here's a take home statement. Your feelings should serve you, not enslave you. I'm going to say that again. Your feelings should not serve you. They should serve you, not enslave you. In other words, how you feel, your emotions should not drive your life. And faith can wait unless you let your feelings dictate. Faith can wait unless you let your feelings dictate. And most singles are so traumatized by their past that they never grow mentally and emotionally. They choose to use their minds, watch this, to remember over choosing their minds to renew it. See, if you're choosing to remember, but you're not choosing to renew. You say, well, what's the difference? Why are you still thinking like you did before you got saved? Why you still think like that? You know why? Because you have not matured emotionally. And the bad part of it is, you cannot, say you cannot. You cannot walk by faith and walk by your feelings at the same time. Here's the beautiful thing. You can walk by faith and not feel nothing. But if you walk by feelings, you're going to feel everything and you're going to miss faith altogether. Amen. When y'all heard this part, but I'm going to say it again, because faith comes by how? Hearing. Because God will use some of my stories to help y'all. Yeah. God has used some of my pastor's stories to help me. This is why it says, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. He's saying, follow people. Watch this. Follow people who got receipts. Why are you following people that ain't got no receipts? They say they got receipts, but they ain't show you no receipts. Now, my life ought to show some receipts. He says, follow those kind of people. Follow those who through faith and patience, they've already inherited the promises. Those are the kind of people you want to follow. And when we was building this building, we had two loans, and one of them was fizzling out and the other one was supposed to kick in. Well, the other one didn't kick in because I didn't sign some paperwork that they wanted me to sign. I was like, no, I'm not signing that. Don't look right. I do business from my head. I do ministry from my heart. My degree's in business. So I'm sorry. I see some things not right with that. So I didn't sign it. They said, well, okay, well, if you ain't gonna sign it, you can't finish building with this money. So this money's sitting over here in this account. So I'm halfway smart. I'm like, well, I need to at least have my attorneys look at this paperwork. My pastor say, let your attorney look at it. And that's what I did. And my attorney's like, no, don't sign it right now. So until then, what am I going to do? Do I stop building? No, the bank didn't tell me to build. The Lord did. So I had to use the money we had. So I'm forking that money out. And I ain't talking about no like 2,000, 5,000. I'm talking about 25,000, 100,000. I mean, that money was flying out of the, it was flying. And I was like, Lord Jesus, what this money is going on. And so finally, cause if you got more money coming out, going out than you got coming in, you're going to have a problem. I think y'all already know that. So we ran into a problem. Houston got a problem. So I had a bill that was for $187,000. We didn't have the money. First time in my life, I ain't never had money for something with this church. It's the Lord's church though. So the builder comes to me and says, Pastor, the lady who owns the window company says, if you don't pay her tomorrow, she's going to sue you and then she's going to put a lien on this church. We weren't even finished with the church. How you gonna put a lien on it? We ain't finished it. We ain't got no, we barely got windows. So I was like, well, can you ask her, can I meet with her? Cause this was Thursday. She's talking about suing me on Friday. So I was like, ask her, can I meet with her? So he asked her, she said, yeah. So I go and meet with this lady on Friday. I'm on my way and I'm trying to figure out, Lord, what am I going to tell this lady? I mean, I can tell her about the loans and how we done gave all our money and that's why we ain't got her money. And so while I'm sitting in the car trying to figure out what to do, the Lord tells me exactly what to do. He says, use your pastor's story on that lady. Okay. Long story. My pastor would always tell this story when he was back in the day when he didn't, you know, he has just started the church. He didn't have no money. His church didn't have no money. He was broke. His credit was bad and all that kind of stuff. And so he was at church one Sunday and the Lord speaks to him and says, tell the people you're going to have a new car next week. He was like, I appreciate the new car, Lord, but why do I have to tell them? Tell the people. He gets up there and he says, this is faith. He says, I'll have the pastor's gonna have a new car next week, and everybody laughed because they knew he didn't have no money, they didn't have no money, church didn't have no money, he had bad credit. So money goes around, and he goes around town looking, go to all these banks. No. Finally he gets to a banker, and the guy's picking lint off his suit while he's talking to him. Yeah, okay, what kind of car you want? Well. And then he tells him, he said, I'm sorry, that's a pipe dream. You won't be getting. He said, you need to go to the tote-to-note lot and get you a car. But how many know sometimes you have to hear no's before your yes comes? So he went back to the church discouraged. Everybody told him no. He says, Lord, you told me I was going to have a new car. You told me to tell these people, and I done everything I know to do. He said, I don't know where to go. Everybody told me no. I don't know where to go. He says, well, had you asked me where to go before you started, I'd have told you. He said, go right down the street. There was a bank right up the street from the church. He says, I want you to go to that bank. They're going to take care of you. He walks in the bank. The man don't even know him. And he says, preacher, what can I do for you today? My pastor's thinking, well, how do you know I'm a preacher? He says, come in my office. He says, what can I do? He says, I want a new car. He said, well, what kind of car you want? He said, a Mercedes. Not a Mercedes, Mercedes. And the man looked at him and said, one day you'll get a Mercedes, but not today. What's your next pick? You know, all preachers need to have a Cadillac. I take a Cadillac. The man said, you'll get a Cadillac one day, but not today. What's your third pick? He says, a Buick Park Avenue. The man says, that's a great choice. He pulls out his calculator, starts calculating, and then he says, you should be able to find a car for this much. He says, if you'll find it, I'll finance it, and then whatever difference you need to have, you can put the down payment or whatever. So my pastor is excited because the guy didn't even pull his credit. So he goes to this dealership to find this car. He sees the car he wants. He drives up. They don't even come see him because his car is smoking. You know how you know it'd be like, hey, he ain't got no money. His car raggedy. Well, he putted up in there. His car like smoke, like, you know, pig peeing on Linus. Just smoke. His church nicknamed his car the bomb. That's how bad it smoked. He gets there. He sees the car. He meets with the manager. And the manager, he says, yeah, I like that car. The manager said, well, how much money you got? He says, no, I don't have no money. He said, well, how's your credit? He says, well, I don't have good credit. He said, but if you'll let me take the car home this weekend, the 10% you want, I'll come back with it. The man said, I don't operate like that. See, but this is back in the day. I ain't letting you drive home with a car you ain't paid for. So then this is what my pastor said to him that I said to this lady. My pastor said, my banker told me that he would finance 87% or let's say 80% of this car. And I got to pay him back in so many years. He said, he's trusted me to pay him back over those years. I need you to trust me with this 20% until Monday. And he stuck his hand out there for the man to shake his hand. The man reluctantly shook his hand and says, preacher, you got a deal. Get this preacher's car ready. So they went and got the car ready and everything. He showed up with his new car on Sunday. The church was excited. He told them what was up. And the church said, the church raised an offering. Listen, they paid for the down payment. They paid for his insurance. It was enough money to pay for him to get a whole lot of gas. So I'm sitting in front of that lady. And she was like, preacher, what you gonna do? I said, ma'am, I said, thousands of investors have invested money for Word of Truth Family Church to get this new facility. And it's over a 25-year span that I have to pay them back. I said, I need you to trust me for 6 days to get you your money. And I stuck my hand out there. My pastor did it. I stuck my hand out there. So she could shake my hand. And she looked at my hand and it stayed out there for a while. I just wanted you to know that. I didn't care. I was like, if I got to do the robot, we go. She shook my hand and then I told her, I said, whatever you got to do to get your money, if I don't get it, you do that. I said, but I'll have your money in 6 days. I get in the car and I said, Lord, where is money going to come from? Why did I tell her 6 days? I just made it up. I didn't know nothing. I told him 6 days. But you have what you say, not what you don't say. So long story short, Saturday, Sunday, no Monday. Monday, no money. Tuesday, no money. Wednesday, I'm riding down the street right here on Collins, right here. And I can see the building being built. And I'm getting ready to meet with the builder. I knew he asked me the question. I know what he's going to ask me. What was he going to ask me? You got the money for the window lady? I didn't have the money. So I'm thinking, well, I'm going to tell him when I get there. While I'm thinking about it, my phone rings and somebody from another church said, we heard you are building the building and we, if you will give us wiring instructions, are going to wire Word of Truth $200,000 today. That's why you can't let your emotions override your faith. All right, let me hurry up. Here's another random fight, and that is renewing your mind. Your mind is spirit, church. Therefore, it needs a spiritual diet to stay renewed. I'm going to say that again. Your mind is spirit. Everybody say, my mind is spirit. That's why you can't see your mind and stop giving people a piece of it. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You need all your mind. Don't do that. But your mind is spirit and it needs a spiritual diet so that it can be renewed. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed, what? In the spirit of your mind. Most people use their minds to store old data when they need to renew their minds with God's way and God's data. That's why Romans 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for your life, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Here's random fight number, whatever number I'm on, and that is having the right perception. I'm going to end right here, but I need to cover this because when you don't have the right perception, you will not have the right reception. You can't have your FM, your AM antenna up and get FM reception. Right thinking produces right perceptions. Everybody say right thinking produces right perceptions. And see, our perception is how we see stuff. So this story is coming out of Numbers 13. We'll end right here. It says, and Moses, this is when the children of Israel, Moses sent 12 spies into this land that God told them that he had blessed them with. Now you have to understand, it's over 2 million people that came out of Egypt that's in this wilderness. He sends 12 spies into the promised land. And so it says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. He said to them, I want you to go up the way southward, go up the mountain and see the land, what it is, and look at the people that's living there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And he says, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it's good land or bad land. Look at what the cities are that they dwell in. Are they dwelling in tents or is it in strongholds? Verse 20. And what there be wood there or not, and be you of good courage. And then he tells them and gives them instructions. He says, bring some fruit of that land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. So they went up. Everybody say they went up. They went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin and Rohab as men came from Hamath. Now I'm skipping down to verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after how many days? 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel. Basically, they came and it says they brought back word with them unto the congregation and showed them the fruit from the land. The grapes were huge. And so it says this in verse 27. And they told them and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it's flowing with milk and honey. It's just like what you said. He said, and it has fruit in it and everything. But then it says, but nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land. And the cities are walled up and very great. And we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites are living there. And the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and all these other ites. And verse 30 says, and so while he's talking, while they're giving the negative report, the Bible says, Caleb steeled the people. He said, hold on. And he said, let us go at once and possess it because we're able to do it. His perception was right because his perception was built on what God said and not on what they saw. But the men that was with him said, we're not able to go up against these people. They're stronger than us. And they brought up an evil report of the land. And look, watch this. And so the children of Israel said, oh, we've gone to search it and the inhabitants are going to eat us up. And then the Bible says in verse 33, they saw giants and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. What's my point? They had a wrong perception. And the wrong perception kept them from entering into the promised land. Out of 2 million people, only 2 went into the promised land. 10 saw the problem. Listen, church, 10 saw the problem. Only 2 saw the promise. Your perception will help you receive God's promises or hinder God's promises in your life. My question to you is, how do you perceive you? Are you a good catch? Look at your neighbor and say, are you a good catch? You're a good catch. Some of y'all, y'all perception is so bad, you can't even catch a cold right now. I'm just telling you like it is. Can I tell you a secret too? Clothes don't cover that up. Nails don't cover that up. A hair did don't cover that up. A nice fade don't cover that up. No. Muscles don't cover that up. Man, okay, dog, I got a lot more, but I'm going to have to stop right here. So let's do our vows. It's 12:34. So here's what we did. Let me tell you what we did. We took all of the messages that I've done over the last 4 weeks, and we've combined them into some vows that I want y'all to make. Now, I didn't do this with the married people, but I'm going to do it with y'all. I'm going to read the vows first because some of y'all ain't going to want to make them. No, some of y'all ain't going to want to make this. So I don't want to fool you. Be like, gotcha. No. When you make the vow that I'm going to read, I want you to mean it. Now, does that mean you're going to have a life of perfection? No. God is never looking for perfection. He got that. He got that through Jesus. He's not looking for perfection, but you better believe God is looking for some progress. So let me read the vows real quick. This is what you're going to say. Today I stand before God, knowing that my relationship with Him is the foundation of my life. I vow to fight the lies of the enemy who tries to deceive me into believing that the world's ways are better than God's way. I choose to die to my way and yield to His way. I vow to trust in God's promises, knowing that in His timing, knowing that His timing is perfect. His will is best and His love is enough to sustain me. I vow to live fully in this season of singleness, understanding that my joy, fulfillment, and contentment comes from knowing Christ and Him alone. I vow to serve Him with all of my heart, trusting that His plans for me are greater than anything I could ever imagine. I will resist the temptation to making idols of my desires. Instead, I will yield my will to His. I vow to keep my body pure and holy. I'm going to repeat that one. I vow to keep my body pure and holy. Look at your neighbor and say, I vow to keep my body pure and holy. Amen. I vow to fight the good fight of faith, believing that in His time and in His way, God will lead me to the right person for my life if I desire to get married. Whether single or married, I will walk in His abundant life, fully trusting in His purpose for me. So who's ready to make the vow? Raise your hand if you're ready to make it. Now, if you're not ready, that's fine. I get it. So those of you who are ready, I want you to repeat. In fact, can you put it on the screen? Okay, good. So we're going to read this together, if you're ready. And here's what I'm going to ask God to do. How many have been married before? Raise your hand. You've been married before? Okay. You can put your hand down. How many have never been married? Let me see your hand. Okay. Wow. That's a lot. Okay. All right. How many out of those two sets of hands, how many want to be married again or be married? Let me see your hand if you want to be married. Okay. All right. So let me ask you a question. Are you willing to do what it takes? I only heard about maybe 15 people say yeah. I saw all these hands. But let me ask the question again. Are you willing to do what it takes to get married?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Well, let's say these vows again, because I'm going to ask God to do what he did in my life and your life. I'm going to ask him to do it quickly. You're going to go to the family reunion single, and the next year you're going to go back married and everything. They're going to be like, was you dating them when we saw you last? No, I wasn't dating at all. Nobody was on the radar. Well, how'd you find that fine man? How'd you find that fine woman? The Lord. Lord, do you know him? I'm going to ask God to do a quick work in your life. But see, here's the sacrifice you have to make. You have to be, let me say it like this. Okay, this is, don't take this wrong. You got to be willing to live like the pastor to get what the pastor got. Say, what do you mean by that? You got to put the Lord first. Keep him first. Obey the Lord. I ain't say perfect, because First Lady lived with me, so she know I'm not perfect. She know I'm real close, though. I'm just playing. I even paid her to shake her head. Yeah. Okay, let's. I'm messing around. All right, we messed up on time. I'm 4 minutes over. All right, here we go. Y'all ready? Let's pray. Let's say our vows together. Today, I stand before God, knowing that my relationship with him is the foundation of my life. I vow to fight the lies of the enemy who tries to deceive me into believing that the world's ways are better than God's ways. I choose to die to my way and yield to his way. I vow to trust in God's promises, knowing that his timing is perfect, his will is best, and his love is enough to sustain me. I vow to live fully in this season of singleness, understanding that my joy, fulfillment and contentment comes from knowing Christ and him alone. I vow to serve him with all of my heart, trusting that his plans for me are greater than anything I could ever imagine. I will resist the temptation to make idols of my desires. Instead, I will yield my will to his. I vow to keep my body pure and holy. I vow to fight the good fight of faith, believing that in his time and in his way, God will lead me to the right person for my life if I desire to get married. Whether single or married, I will walk in his abundant life, fully trusting in his purpose for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to do something that just came to me, but I'm not going to do it unless y'all give me permission to do it. Okay. So listen what I want to do. My prayer is for God to do a quick work in your life like he did in mine. So I want to set my faith in agreement with you. The Bible says what, two or three touch and what? So only the people who said the vow? Only them. If you want to wonder, raise your hands. I ain't ready for that. Don't come up here. You don't come up here. Because it ain't going to work. But if you came, if you raised your hand, I want to anoint. Can y'all give my all? I just want to quickly do this. All right. I tell you what, before I do this, go ahead and put it. Yeah. Before I do this, I'm going to do the altar call. Cause after I lay my hands on you, y'all can walk out of here. That's how we're going to do it. So be still real quick. So if you're here today and you died.